Good morning and welcome to the New Media Show. My name is Todd Cochran. We are back here in the studio and glad to be with you. And, of course, a good morning to my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. It's great to have you back in the saddle, too. You know, we were doing this show a lot, you know, while you were on the road.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially over on Blab, which was, it was an amazing experience over there doing shows. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more community going on over there.
And I was attempting to do Blab in conjunction with YouTube Live this morning, but I got home at 1 a.m. versus 11 p.m. And by the time I got, a shower, and I woke up at 4 thinking I need to, get the studio kind of arranged, and I should be able to figure this out in an hour how to do both. And what it is... And, the Blab stuff is great. So is Google Hangouts. Matter of fact, I got an interview to do it in 2 hours on Google Hangouts. Is that they work great with USB cameras. There's, there's no problem. But the challenge I have is
I'm not USB based. Yeah.
I'm SDI and, I'm designed basically as a pro broadcast studio. And then, while I do have converters from Blackmagic Design and so forth, they're supposed to take either an HDMI input or SDI input and be able to make that as a camera, which, in retrospect, you should just be able to, select. But, then I go and load Blab, and after the 20th try, I find the right setting for the Express. You're like, okay, I got that one figured out. And then you got to think, okay, I got video in. Now how do I get the audio routed if I want to do it? Because I've never done it. So I've got a challenge over the next week or so is to essentially get the studio so we can do both. And,
yeah.
And I've got to have it.
Well, then it's what you're going to have to get configured more in with a webcam, right? That's really your only solution? Or?
No, not really. No? It just got to get these, I got to figure out what the magic sauce is for, because what happens is you plug like a Blackmagic Design box in and you go to Thunderbolt, mm-hmm. and it doesn't just give you one camera, it gives you 20 video settings.
Yeah, okay.
And then the service, you have to figure out, okay, does it work with 1080i? 23.9, or is it 1080i 60, or is it 720p 29, or 24.9? It's just, and of course, Google is really helpful when you are trying to rush.
So, is this a problem that could be solved by the folks that make TriCaster? Or,
well, it's the Wirecast folks have actually figured it out. They're doing IP based camera stuff, so folks that are using Wirecast are not.
Not having these problems.
And I've got Wirecast on a machine, but quite frankly, I just didn't have time to deal with it this morning. And the real problem is getting the audio routed. I'm designed to push. You come in here,
yeah,
and I talk, and we just go out on those devices, and I'm not really designed to listen. I'm not set up
to pull in from those as well.
Right. Yeah. So it's, the other path is the challenge. So, and, they all have, and the services are pretty good. You can select a camera, you can select an audio input, you can select an audio output. But this is kind of like the closed ecosystem here. So, because I've never used those platforms, never had a need to. And I see why these guys are using these ATR mics now. They have a USB plug on them. So they just plug it in and they solve the input issue. And most folks, you look at, and if they're using those on a regular basis, it's great. The workflow in here is, I've got the gear. I don't have to buy nothing.
It's just getting it wired up. It's complicated. I mean, those TriCaster systems are not the easiest things to, work with.
Well, it's not the TriCaster is actually simple. I turn it on and it works.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I press, live stream on YouTube and we're up, it's not complicated. Once in a while, maybe a camera input will be funky or something like that. But having gone 3 weeks, turned the studio up and knock on wood, everything was fine. I had to reboot the router, But other than that, it was everything's ready to go. It's just you because these are all being done on browsers. You're yeah. relying on the browser to be able to decode the, you know, the video and yep. be able to put you online. So that's where the weakness is. And you know,
so I could do. I've got three computers on my desk. I could get another webcam, and actually I have another webcam, and just plug it into one of my other computers that are plugged into another monitor that's yep. right next to me, and I could probably do Blab with you just yeah. on a separate computer connection.
So here's the key, though. So we have to make a decision. So, okay, you come in via Skype, all right, and I check the audio levels there, make sure we're good, and then I go live on YouTube. Then I have to switch to another screen and decide which audio I'm going to listen to. So I probably will want to listen to the Blab audio. But what happens then with the Blab audio? Am I out of sync with the... So it's really, you know, it is not as simple if you're trying to do two streams. Maybe the solution is we just go up on Blab, which is fine. But, you know, the problem with Blab is it's got that little narrow... in a little narrow screen, and I could capture the Blab session here and record it. That would be, maybe that's a solution. I don't know, but it's, you know, you just kind of pick your poison and figure it out. And, but yeah, a little frustration this morning at 4:30 in the morning. I'm, you know, got the door closed here in the studio and I'm F-bombing. Partially because of no sleep, you know, 3 hours sleep and, yeah, just everything else. But anyway, I'm crying.
Ugh. Well, and you've been gone for how many days now?
I was gone 24, 25 days, something like that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So is your family still sleeping?
Yeah, my daughter, her boyfriend's birthday was last night. She come crashing in here about, she's almost 20. Well, she's 19 and a half. She come crashing in here at 12:30 or something like that, or what? Actually, she got home about the time we got home, about yeah. 1, and then it's pouring. I got home and it's like something. It's like I felt I landed in Guam. The humidity is like 100%, and
oh boy.
Raining. So yeah, the weather sucks for Hawaii. I know we're
Todd,
trying.
Welcome
crying.
Home.
Woohoo!
Yes.
I got my stress ball right here. I'm
yes,
good.
Yes, you do. That's right. And you're pumping it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was flying American Airlines, and those seats are the worst. Oh, my God. My butt won't be right for 2 weeks. Well, anyway, how are you, Rob?
I'm doing all right. There's always stuff going on in the new media podcasting space. I mean, it's an ever-changing area that's... It definitely is starting to feel a lot different than it's ever felt before. No question about that. It's I don't know if you're noticing it too, but things are a changing. It's kind of hard to articulate it sometimes. It's more like how it makes you feel as you talk to people out there and as you contemplate, you know, some insider information, or if you think about, you know, kind of the direction that you're seeing a lot of the big players heading towards, you can kind of see where the future is and where the conflicts are. And there's still some big challenges in the space right now, right?
Yeah. It's interesting you say the word complex.
Yes. There's some issues that, you know, that certain segments of the space would love to solve that are not going to get solved anytime soon. I wish that there was a way. I think one of the ways that I think a segment of the industry now would like to solve it is the whole download piece. I think they would like to
they hate it.
Get rid of that completely.
Tough.
It's a pain in their ass because they can't seem to get their head around it, and it's hard to explain.
Well, yeah. The problem is they can't get their head around it.
I know. Well, that's what I mean. And they can't, if they can't get their head around, they can't explain it to anybody else.
Right.
And it's always this nagging question that keeps coming up, and their quick answer is, well, you know, let's just stream everything, you know?
Right.
Cause everybody knows how to do that. And everybody knows how to track the playback and metrics on that. And the advertisers understand it. But the whole download thing is like this black box of mystery, right?
Yep.
So are you experiencing that out there as well?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm not. That's the funny thing is the folks that we're talking to and working with, they're
cool with it. Huh?
It's just, we made a, here's what's, you know, for us, we're flexible. As a matter of fact, we're going to have some announcements here after the holidays that are, kind of in line with some of the stuff that's going on in the streaming space. But I think what you, let me switch here. I'm asleep at the switch thinking I'm on blab where I don't need to switch the camera back.
Lazy.
Yeah. I think we're in a time where these bigger companies are just going to have to kind of pony up. They're going to have to man up and figure out that this media is consumed different ways. If they're going to decide to just stream stuff, okay, it's streaming. It's audio on demand streaming. And then call it that. It's not a podcast. Yeah. And that's okay too. But maybe I'm being purist here.
But streaming isn't cool, you know. Podcasts are now cool.
Right. So if they're gonna be cool kids on the block, then they're gonna have to, you know, suck it up. And people are saying, okay, what the hell is he talking about? Well, I keep hearing people complain, these radio executives complain about metrics.
Yeah.
And guess what? Some of the radio folks, when they see the metrics, they go, oh. And then they look at their stream and they go, ah, but it's the same thing, but there's two different ways to count. And I hate to say it. I don't know if streaming is being counted any better than television. Or radio?
Yeah, probably not.
And, you know, maybe not. Maybe it is being counted well. And they can do, you know, we can listen to, we know someone's going to listen to 22 minutes. That's fine. You know, we can tell them that same information now if they have done an active play. It's something we can extrapolate out of the CDN log data, you know, and put back together. You know, I guess, you know, if you think about the space, they're just uneducated.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as big of a hurdle as everybody's making it out to be. I agree with you. It's not as big of a deal. I think at the end of the day, it just gets back to control. You know, people just want, and also to minimize the potential of any kind of exposure or risk. I think that's part of what's happening here.
Yeah.
People don't want to take those kind of risks of uncertainty around things. Now, granted, you know, coming out of the radio space, that the radio space is full of uncertainty. But yet they behave like there is certainty there.
Right.
I think that there's more certainty in the podcast on demand side than there is has ever been on the online radio or on the broadcast business.
And that's just
me.
You know, we you know, this past week we announced our this deal we did with Triton, and Triton Digital is a big company in the podcasting space.
Yeah, why don't you share about that? I mean, what? So how does that plug-in work?
So, for those of you that don't know, what we announced is that we technically take if you're using PowerPress and you're a pro customer, so this applies to pro customers over. So the clients that want to use the plugin have to upgrade to a pro account with us. Mm-hmm. So once they're on a pro account, and then they have let me bring up the article here.
So what exactly is a pro account? Is that where they're hosting with you guys and taking all your services?
It's where they are not on a flat rate plan anymore.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so let me go here. Power, I'm a little slow on the switch this morning.
So flat rate is a payment, so it's based on usage?
It's based on usage, yes. Based on storage and usage. So what we've done is the PowerPlus plugin now has a private app that we will give to one of our pro customers when and only when they've established a an account with the Triton Digital for their mm-hmm. TAP platform. Now, their TAP platform is essentially the Triton advertising platform. So if you go over to Triton Digital and you're a high volume podcaster and you've made a contract and made arrangements with Triton Digital to sell programmatic ad buying. Mm-hmm. So this is very important to note. This is programmatic ad buying for your podcast. So you basically say, Triton, I want you to monetize my show. They say, sure, we'll do that. They put their sales team against it. They have your inventory available. They know what you're doing. And then the magic happens. What the real, all that really happens, and this is the secret sauce, is you continue to publish your show the same exact way that you do now. You post your blog post, you upload your media just like you do today, and you hit publish. Now, the only difference is when you hit publish, we send a little signal to Triton. We give them some information, and they know the location of that media file, and there's a little magic happens. But here's the beauty of it. You just continue to do what you're doing on your website and in your RSS feed. Nothing changes, and when someone clicks play, from then on out, if Triton has advertising for you, it gets dropped in. And it plays on a pre-roll or post-roll basis, no insertion at this point. But it basically gives them the ability to monitor. And then when there's no advertising going on, it just serves the file normal without any advertising. So
so is that on click play as well as is download as well?
On download, it will definitely, it'll be in, put together on a download for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be, I guess for a better word, I don't want to say the word, and I don't want to speak for their platform. So any term I use here, please understand that I am not a TAP expert over Triton. All we've done is made the interface work. So really, and what it does now is it gives all our clients, all our pro clients, the ability to use Triton as any. This is for our radio station clients and everybody that we're working with on that end. And that basically, phones have been burning off the hook since we made this announcement, because there's a lot of radio stations out there that are podcasting already, and a lot of large podcasters that are looking to monetize and are willing to accept the programmatic ad buying solution.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is not host endorsed. The beauty about this is the podcasters can still put, or the radio stations or the media moguls can still put host endorsed ads in the content.
Sure.
So it doesn't stop that. So it kind of gives you the best of both worlds. And again,
it's almost like national ads versus local ads somewhat. It's kind of a little bit that same analogy, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But to read from the Triton website, the Triton advertising platform is a customizable ad platform designed to help digital audio publishers increase monetization for live and on-demand content. TAP is built specifically for audio, enabling broadcasters, podcasters, and digital music service to effectively streamline ad operations and maximize revenue. So what it is you do this deal with Triton, and you sign a contract with them for how much it's going to cost or whatever the play. And again, I know nothing about the business model. I don't know what the split is. I don't know what the revenue amount is. I don't know what I don't know any of that. Okay. You go to Triton Digital and talk to the team over there, and we encourage you to do so. But in order to maintain your publishing platform the way it is now and not change anything, if you're working with us already and have the PowerPress plugin loaded, once that you're pro with us, you're with them, we give you the app, and it works for so long as you have a relationship there. You have to have both pieces.
Yeah. So what type of ads are we looking at?
No clue.
Don't know. I mean, I would imagine it's going to be relatively short, probably 15, 30 second max.
Again, no, I'll just do, I'm rolling my head. Yes, no, I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah. That's my understanding. That's what those guys do.
And I have a direct contact, obviously direct contacts with their team. So if anyone wants to reach out to them, I'll be more than happy. And I'll just do the introduction, and then you go do your email thing with them. But it's ceo@rawvoice.com. You can send that to me. But what we're really, and this is the goal, Rob, we're a tool provider. Yep. So what our goal ultimately is that we want to provide our clients with tools that allow them to grow their shows and build sustainable audiences and monetize. So anyway, I know I made that into a commercial here for me, but if I don't have my own platform, I can't talk, my own show, I can't talk about something. Sorry.
No, you should talk about it. I think it's important to talk about.
But that's just one of many things we're trying to do. And again, it's about, we understand distributions are very important. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be coming out after the holidays with a very big announcement on distribution. Very big announcement on distribution. This Triton thing. And really what we're saying, and this is the, the conversations that are happening. We can do this for Wide Orbit. We can do this for AdWiz. We can do these for any of these platforms that want to work with us to get access to the 50,000 plus people that are using our services. So
It's just an API connection.
And in this case, it wasn't so much API. Well, a little API.
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit.
Yeah, a little API. But, Angelo did the work. I think it took him about a week to put it together. And so what do we get out of it? Well, you're going to be a pro hosting customer with us. What's Triton get out of it? They get ad revenue. So there's a dividing line.
Well, both sides get ad revenue. The content provider.
Right, the content provider. And to be a pro customer is not that big of a step up from our flat rate plans for most content creators.
So are you guys taking any of that revenue and applying it towards their hosting fees, or you guys
I have nothing
just
to
doing
do
clear separation between
there's a
those
clear,
payments?
Yeah, there's a clear separation of Church and of Raw Voice, Blueberry, and Triton. Triton does their thing, we do our thing. It's two separate deals.
Okay.
And you're already paying for hosting with us anyway.
Yeah.
So really, all you got to do is establish the, and if you're not a pro customer, you have to bump up to pro. But if you're going to be doing this type of advertising with Triton, you're going to have the volume. You should be pro anyway. Because I don't know what the volume requirements are over there. I don't think a podcaster that has 3,000 downloads over there or with, on your show per episode, I don't think they're a candidate to go over and talk to Triton. Now, if you have 30,000 downloads per episode, yeah, maybe the call will be worth it. It might be well worth the call over there.
But, though, as you think about programmatic, though, and we've had these conversations many times, Todd, buying wide is going to be more and more possible. And buying wide may be where the long-term opportunity is in this space, too. I mean, everybody keeps talking about the big shows, right? But the problem is, we've talked about many times, is that those big shows get sold out. So there's probably more advertisers that are interested in this space that are going to be growing than there are big shows right now.
Yeah. And
so what are their options going to be? But, well, there needs to be a solution to buy across large numbers of shows that can aggregate unduplicated audience.
But there is going to be a certain amount of volume you're going to have. Because, again, I can't speak to their business.
Yeah, no,
model.
I mean, we're not speaking specifically about Triton here.
Right.
We're just speaking generally about kind of the direction of the overall industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to factor in, well, what's going to happen with Google?
Yep.
Google may want to get into this too. I think we're getting into a time where these big players are going to want to take their chunk out of the space, and
that's an interesting. Someone had said. And I got to find it now because now you've made me remember something. There was a Seth on Google Plus. Where is that piece? Let me think here.
Who's Seth?
Wrestler.
Wrestler. Actually, he's going to join us on the show soon here.
Okay. He had put on he put a link to an article. And then I made a comment too. I got to find it because it's real pertinent to this conversation here. And of course, Google Plus has completely changed. Oh my God. Okay.
Well, Google Play Music too, but yeah.
Okay. So let me, I think he put this in the podcasters Google Plus. Let me look for his article. Seth, where are you? Okay. Yeah. Here it is. Okay. So there's an article on Rivet News Radio. How? No. Oh boy, is that the right one? I don't think this was it. And it was just a couple of days ago. Well, here's the essence. Oh, there it is. It was on NiemannLab.org talking about podcasting in 2015 feels like blogging circa 2004.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there was a statement in here that just, this is what it all boils down to. And everyone listening needs to really pay attention here. I got something important to share. The quote out of the article is exactly what we have been battling against with the wave of companies trying to segment the space. And here's the quote. Mark Oman, who makes a popular Overcast podcast app for iOS, argues that this coming wave of companies aims to lock down this open medium into a proprietary technology and build empires of middlemen to control distribution and take a cut out of everyone's revenue. That's how you make big money, and it usually works. This Marco Ament, man, boom, hit it on the like, bam, absolute truth. So would you agree with what Marco has to say, Rob?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's, you know, I think we are kind of missing that right now. I mean, I think,
are we missing it, or do we want it?
It's a double-edged sword.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's the whole, it's a little bit of the kind of YouTube analogy too.
All right. I mean,
do we want to have a big, you know, big dominant players in this space, or do we want to have it spread across lots of smaller players?
I think I've made a realization that we can have both.
I think that's what we have today.
Right. Somewhat. But at this point, too, they hate, the streaming folks, radio folks, hate RSS. Yeah. They, oh, my God. Why do I have to have...
It's not the nail that they're used to hitting.
No. RSS. What do you mean we're going to provide them a direct link? We want a little thing on our website that says play or in our app. Well, that's fine. You know, but we still have to have the ability to give the 30 or 40% that are still... What did I do before I got on an airplane? I downloaded like 7 podcasts.
Yeah.
And
preloaded. Yeah.
And listened the entire time I was on, like the 3 flights I was on yesterday. So.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it gets back to the age old argument too here. I think that the argument that's taken here is it's ease of use, right? You know, if you just have a streaming platform, click play, you start thinking about the playback experience. And really, I think, being a Spreaker, we just launched an app for Android that basically takes that analogy to some extent, to its destination, which is creating more of a click play, lean back listening experience to podcasts. Now, granted, that's a little antithetical to the history of podcasts, where the podcast listener is in total control of everything, right?
But Rob, it's still on demand. You're still doing on demand. You're not joining the program in progress.
Correct. That's true.
So
what we're doing is we're walking that line between on demand plus kind of radio like experiences, right? Mm.
M. Daniels and Michael's been hanging out in the podcast movement. Hang on, if I remember correctly, Michael's actually is talking with podcasters for a company. If I'm wrong, Michael, tell me in chat. But he's exploring podcasting for vendors, and he says, "Does frequency work the same with podcasts as it does with other mediums?" Well, it's from an advertising standpoint. Well, yes. You know, and here's, you know, this is the thing and this is no secret. I've told this many, many times. If you take, let's say a show's doing one episode a week on any campaign, and I hate it when buyers come in and they want to do 30 days because they really don't get the podcast experience over a 30-day campaign. It drives me absolutely batshit crazy. And matter of fact, one of the companies that we're buying on one-off episodes has finally realized we need to be in every episode, and they're buying every episode for like 3 months. So here's what happens is the listener hears it, maybe sees it on the website, hears it again. The story's developing. It's, you know, it's again this host endorsement model where we're introducing product, talking about use cases, talking about whatever the product may be. There's a 2 to 3 week period of like, it goes like, then all of a sudden.
Yeah. There's a buildup.
But the first the first 2 weeks are like, the buyers are going,
nothing's happening.
Their hair is standing on end.
There's nothing happening yet.
They're what's screaming. I get, what's going on? What's going on? We're not seeing any reaction. I'm like, if you were on radio, you would have had 3 spots or 4 spots every hour for 3 hours. Yeah. Calm down.
It takes time to drill the message into listeners' heads.
And then, but once we get up and going, based on our experience, the ROI then exceeds what they see on any other medium, largely because we have told that story. We have talked about the product. We're saying, this is a great battery for an iPhone. It's, you know, it's got the ability. You know, you're talking about it.
Yeah.
And then the sales start rolling in. And then what happens after, if you're only doing this for a month, you're like, you get a week after the month, you know, and you know, they're like, well, that campaign really didn't work so good. And I'm like, it didn't even get started in podcasting. Yeah. You have to buy 2 or 3 months at a minimum. And most companies aren't, because they're so used to doing a test on radio for 2 weeks. They spend $10,000. They say, oh, look at the results we got on that.
Yeah.
But they got to quit thinking about this medium as radio. It's not radio.
Yeah, it's different. That's right. Well, and I thought it was really interesting, the webinar that was put on by Westwood One.
Oh, Cumulus. Yeah, I'd like to talk about that.
The state of American podcasting, I think, is what this presentation was that was done on was it Thursday, Friday?
Yeah, I missed it. I wanted to see
it. The guy that does the production, one of the comments that really stood out to me from that whole thing, and it was a really quick comment, was a comment that the producer of Mark Maron's show said about advertising. He doesn't believe that running the same ad in back-to-back shows is a good idea, because you get this whole thing of people getting burned out of hearing the same advertisement over and over and over again, right? He likes to shake it up, where you have like one episode this week that's playing Shave Club, the next week is playing GoDaddy, and the next week maybe he's playing Shave Club, and he's alternating. He's trying to alternate his ad messages so he doesn't, kind of irritate his audience, because there's too much frequency.
I don't agree.
No.
And that's based on 11 years of running multiple campaigns, running 11 years of GoDaddy straight and 1,000 plus episodes.
Well, also, Todd, I think what he's not factoring in here is that if you're doing host reads specifically, you're probably going to vary that up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's not going to be the same thing that you're going to say every week.
No,
right?
You change
it's not
the story
be off
up.
The script.
Sometimes my ads are short for GoDaddy. Sometimes they're long.
Yeah. So,
you know, when they're in there every, you know, of course, we've been going on for years, but if I'm doing a campaign for someone for 12 weeks, there's a trick to it. If they're going to be in for 12 weeks, or in this case, in most cases, 30 days, which, again, bad idea. You first of all, you're telling the audience day one, this is my stress ball. It's blue. It's got labeling on it. It's soft. It's made by so and so. You're building a story about this product. And it's not so much the sales part, but by episode 3, hey folks, I've talked about my stress ball, you know, and it's doing this and doing that and blah 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 blah. You need to go buy this thing.
Yeah.
So
given that situation, so I agree with you. You know, Mark Maron does his reads as host reads.
Uh-huh.
You know,
are they dry?
You know, he does it. So this whole thing that we have to change up the advertiser from week to week, is fine if you have lots of advertisers, but the problem is that it's going to take longer for that advertiser right. to get to that frequency breakpoint.
Yeah. Right?
Which means that the advertiser needs to buy longer term buys, right?
Yeah.
And maybe be more patient.
And I had, luckily you grabbed some screen caps here, and we've got a few we can share.
Yep.
The first one we've got from there, and again, this is from the Westwood One. Let's give attribution here.
Yep.
So why don't you tell them what this was, Rob, so we make sure we don't get in trouble here.
So there was a kind of like an audio screen share webinar that was put on by Westwood One, Cumulus, and I can't remember who the other parties were. I don't have it in front of me here, who all of the guys were. I think the producer from Marc Maron's show was on this. I don't have in front of me all the people that were speaking on this. But I believe that it's available on demand. I can probably share with Todd, and then he can share with his audience a link to watch this on demand.
And by the way, they didn't copyright infringe on us, Rob. They said the state of American podcasting. We do the state of podcasting. So,
yeah, there you go. Okay, I found it here. So it's called the Westwood One's State of American Podcasting Webinar, and it was held on Wednesday the 18th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. It was about an hour long, and it had on there Pierre Boulevard, who's the CMO of Cumulus Westwood, Brendan McDonald, who's the executive producer and co-creator of WTF with Marc Maron, had Stuart Last, who's the VP at Audio Boom, and
streaming
Jenna.
Platform, by the way.
What's that?
It's a streaming platform.
Yes, streaming platform, very much in line with radio.
Right.
And Jenna Wes Berman, who's the director of audio at BuzzFeed.
So really, BuzzFeed does mostly, well, I guess BuzzFeed we can definitely qualify in, and Marc Maron. But Westwood's
podcasters.
Yeah. What does Westwood One know in the podcasting space? What are they actually podcasting? What makes them an authority?
I've had that question as well in the back of my mind, because I'm sure that Cumulus is, and many of the Westwood One clients or syndicated shows are probably doing some podcasting. But I don't believe that Westwood One is specifically doing any podcasting.
Interesting that they're going to give the state of American podcasting. And it's funny here, they use, looking at the first slide that you've got, they use Edison Research share of ear.
Yeah.
Talked about majority of podcast listening occurs during midday and prime time. So, okay, that I don't really have anything to say about that specific slide.
Well, it is an interesting slide that maybe paints a little bit of a picture of when people are consuming this stuff. It's typically, you know, it's midday and it's from 7 p.m., which makes sense, right? That's always been the case. People listen to podcasts during their lunch hour, or they listen to it while they're at work to some degree. So there is some consumption that's going on there. And then you have the after people get home time period.
Right.
But what's interesting is the next slide, which is where it's listening. I don't know. Is that the slide that you're... Okay.
They're saying home, work, car. I don't believe that.
I know. I was wondering, this is coming from Edison as well. Cherbier, I didn't see this research before.
All right. So 60%,
this must be new data.
Neither have I. I've never seen this slide. So it says from Cherbier.
Yeah, it does. But I didn't see it in the breakdown of the Cherbier that was publicly distributed.
So 60% home, 21% work. Now let's just stop. Just remember those two numbers. And let's go back to slide one. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., 32%. Well, I don't know.
I mean,
I think people are listening in transit and at work.
There's probably people that are listening at home that aren't at work, I suppose. Also. But, yeah, so, you know, 60% in the home kind of flies in the face of people's perception of the space, that's for sure.
I'm just going to kind of discount that slide and say, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Because the question, if you look at the demographics, of podcasting. We weigh real heavy on, we weigh real heavy on, folks with degrees, 35 to 55, primary working age, have family, have kids.
Yeah.
They're at work. They're not at home. You know, they're probably working 8-10 hours a day. Transit time. I listen to podcasts in the morning, but I'm usually, you know, getting ready to take kids out. You know, I'm a little different. I'm off the chart listener, but let's go to slide 3 here.
Well, let me make one other comment here too with this is that, it's always been the perception that I've had that podcasting is a mobile consumption medium,
right?
People are commuting to work, whatever. This research doesn't really reflect commute times.
Right.
Sure, it has car and truck, but people don't always drive cars and truck. They take buses, they take trains, they take all sorts of things. So, I mean, their breakdown here is a little bit not quite right either, and I'm not sure how we got to 60% in the home is a little bit hard for me to understand.
So the next slide says 65% of podcast listeners recall an ad after listening to a show one day earlier. The key word there is recalled. Did they act upon it? That's the question. Said most recalled podcast ads, Dollar Shave Club, Amazon, Squarespace, NatureBox, AT&T. I've never heard an AT&T ad. Never heard an Amazon ad. So I don't know where those two companies are advertising. And I thought I was pretty much up to speed on Dollar Shave Club, obviously. Actually, Harry's. I hear Harry's more than Dollar Shave Club.
The Dollar Shave Club folks advertise on Podcast One. I know that. Yeah, so, actually, I was in the middle of trying to work with those guys to create a new podcast.
So sources, IPSOS. I have no idea who that is. So 65 IP. Let's Google that. IPSOS. Their market trend, I guess they're a market research company. Ipsos is a global market research company with worldwide headquarters in Paris, France. The company's founded in 75 and is on the Paris Stock Exchange. Okay, so 65% listen past. Okay. Percent of podcast listeners who recalled podcast advertising, 65% listen past days, 47% listen past week, not yesterday, 21% listen last month, not last week. I think I think we can really understand.
That'll make sense.
Yeah, because if you're going to have an engaged audience, they should be able to recall the ad, but I don't necessarily know if they acted upon it.
Well, this is an action slide, and it's not taking into account frequency either.
Right.
So that's another factor here that's not being factored into this, because certain advertisers get more frequency than others. So you're going to have a stronger recall with a stronger frequency.
Yeah. The next slide.
That gets back to the earlier thing we were talking about how many times that message gets presented.
Yeah. The next is, from Advertiser Perceptions from Omnibus Study, September 2015, and I haven't seen this study either. Agency and market tier podcast sentiment and usage. Have you discussed podcast advertising? No, 59. Yes, 41. I would think that's probably pretty close to being on target. How likely are you to consider advertising podcast 6 months? 54 might. 18% definitely would. 28% definitely would. That's a good sign. How likely are you to actually advertise in podcasts in the coming months? 50% might. 10% definitely would. 40% definitely would not. Oh, so the other slide was another 28% was would not. So, and also if you think about agencies, some agencies, though, are TV agencies. Some are radio. Some are digital. Not all of them have all flavors in-house.
Yeah.
So
this would have been more accurate if it was specifically targeted toward agencies that focused on radio and audio. Yeah.
Yeah, radio, audio, and digital buyers.
Maybe. I don't know. It may be.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going in the chat room. We're going to come back to it, folks. We'll get to you here in a second. The next thing that they have here, some recommendations. What recommendations and advice would you have for the podcast to grow as an advertising medium? Third-party metrics, dynamic ad insertion via offline methods. So that goes in face of host endorsement.
Yeah. Well, it's a radio orientation.
Yeah. Third-party metrics, that is available right now, today. Marketer VP, need to be able to quantify the ROI of the investment. That's easy to do. Very easy. It's been being done for 10 years. So that's not an issue. Agency planner, have the easier access to the content. Not too many hurdles for listener to get to the relevant content. Have complimentary native content instead of a advertisement. What did they say? Have complimentary native content instead of an ad. Of course, we do that now.
Yeah.
So why are these? Who are these folks talking to?
I'm sure they're radio buyers.
But who are they who are they talking to? This first column is, we've got that covered.
Yeah. It's all delayed perception.
Agency planner. More exposure. Show how it's a good fit for brands with case studies of added value. Okay. Yep. We got that.
Yeah.
Agency director. Do something different than radio. Track it. Measure it. Prove the value. These people have not been talking to people that know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an example of where the opportunity is, Todd. There's a lot of people that need to be educated about this medium.
Agency president, better audience measurement, data statistics on actual listening time of listening rather than just downloads or subscribers. Well, why don't they talk to ESPN about actual listening time?
That's a bias towards streaming.
But the thing is, we measure that not for average podcasters, for enterprise clients. We can tell them percentage of media consumed.
Sure.
When it goes into iTunes, we can't fix that. When they download into iTunes, that's gone. But guess what I can do? I can take those folks that actively hit play.
Yeah, and correlate it back.
And probably. I can correlate it back.
Yeah, to some degree. With
there's going to be some margin there for sure.
Yeah.
But it's better than radio.
But it's digital, Todd.
It's
a higher criteria, right?
Well, you know, why are we continuing to be held to a higher standard than radio?
Because we should be.
Well, we are.
Yeah, I know.
This just pisses me off because you and I know these questions have been answered. Why didn't, when this slide come up, why didn't Mark, his partner there, and why didn't the gal from BuzzFeed stand up and just say, This is possible, folks. We have this info already.
Maybe they don't.
Mark's got Libsyn stats.
Yeah.
We trust Libsyn stats. I'm a competitor to Libsyn. I trust Libsyn stats. Why are Libsyn, PodTrack, and us on the IEB committee battling these folks? And the battle's over, by the way. In my opinion, we've won. And we'll be able to have a good measurement standard that's going to come out.
Yeah, because you haven't really talked about that group in a while. So
since NAB, when Angelo stood up and put the sheets on the wall, put his slides up on the wall, and just said, here it is, techies. Here's the black and white. Tell me how I'm wrong. And they couldn't.
Yep.
You know, don't get me wrong. PodTrack was there. Libsyn was there saying the same thing, all doing this. And some of the other folks, too. Folks from Panoply, folks from Gimlet Media, the folks from NPR, WNYC. They all were like this.
Oh, yeah.
All of us on the same page.
Yep.
So it's not like there's... I wish this argument would go away.
I know it's... It's too bad that the perception was that it was we won. I think
the truth
of the matter is that
ground truth.
What you guys were doing was always the right thing to do. Right. It's just there were segments from the online and the radio side that wanted to change it.
Oh, not didn't want to change it, Rob. That's the wrong thing to say. Had been using the wrong measurement model.
Well, yeah, okay. Wanted to change what you were forced you to change your model.
Right. And like to, I said, that I don't know model. If that HIT contract is still out or not.
I'm not going on. I'm not touching that one.
All right. So better audience measurement, data statistics on actual listening time of listings rather than just downloads. Okay, fine. Marketeer VP, provide more insight on the case segment and use of, okay, that's same thing. Industry yeah. generally needs to do a better job defining its user base. Oh my God. We have demographic data that is, okay. So it for those of you that are, I hope we have some media buyers listening because this is what we have.
Of course not, Todd. We don't have any media buyers listening to this.
We have statistics on how the show is being consumed. We know which devices. We know we can give you details down to countries, down to states. We can give you details on which device. I mean, it goes the full gamut. We can give you trending data over time, blah, blah, blah. You take that and you tie that with demographic surveys. And when you get a 10% sampling based upon their statistics numbers, you have an awesome picture of that audience. So we have a fantastic job of being able to lay out who the user base is. Marketeer manager, show the effectiveness of advertising. Give information and view attention levels to those ads. Do they skip? Are they annoyed by these ads? In the end, it just boils down to ROI.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be able to get some of this with this. You know, people are tired of being spied upon. And let's be honest.
There's a balance that has to be struck here, you know.
Yeah.
Though I think after what happened in Paris, I think we're all going to get spied on a lot more, but that's a different topic from this. But
okay, so in the chat room, I'm sorry, I don't know what was referenced. Maybe, yes, I thought that was insane, but I also thought he was full of BS. I don't know what that was in reference to. I'm sorry. Anonymous, I do not believe that either through Jaina from the BuzzFeed said that was their data. I do not believe that either through Jaina from BuzzFeed said that data was. So in other words, they contested some of that data. And according to them, Libsyn Stats wasn't providing the sort of in-depth insight. Oh, it doesn't. Libsyn doesn't provide those kinds of in-depth stats for listens per percentages. We're the only ones doing that. And we're only doing that for our enterprise customers.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, is we have to you imagine a log file, CDN log file, where you're having millions of entries coming in.
There's some heavy lifting going on.
Heavy lifting. You have to, it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle back together. You have to put all those data logs together back, and you have to seam them together and say, okay, this is the download, or this is the live active stream that happened for this show. Did they get it all, or did they not? The downloads are easy. They just, boom, they're downloaded. It's the active players that we see that scrub in, that drop off at certain times. So that is, you know, it's not perfect, but it's better than anything we've ever had. And again, this is not anyone. Let's also redefine some words here. A download and a stream almost look the same in a log file. There's a few differences. But yeah. A stream is in the podcasting world, a stream is an on-demand play, active play.
Well, a stream only delivers the bits that are required to play at the bit rate that it was set to play at. It dribbles it out with
byte chunks.
But a download is basically saturates. It downloads. Once you click play, it typically will download the whole thing.
But no. You're wrong, Rob. That's when you are automatically downloading it. It has nothing to do with play. When you click play, it feeds it to you a little bit at a time. A download happens.
Yes, it's downloading.
When you
it could download faster than it plays, is what I'm saying.
Depending on the device. Apple byte chunks it to you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't download the whole file. When you go and you haven't downloaded, you haven't synced, when you haven't automatically set iOS up to download and you just go and you hit play, it doesn't give you the whole file at once. It gives you pieces of it.
Sure, but if the bandwidth is faster...
No, it won't download the whole thing.
And the playback, right?
It won't download the whole file if you're actively playing. It chunks it ahead. There is a percentage that is cached ahead.
Yeah.
So there is a margin of error there. Mm-hmm. You know, so if it's you know, queued it ahead 20% or whatever it is, so that you have a good listening experience. But a download is the software just going out and saying, oh, new episode, pull it down, let's download it into the device. That's an automated feature. We're talking about an active play, someone going play, and it's not been downloaded already.
There are still a lot of players out there. I mean, you can see it in the timeline of the player itself.
On web players.
We'll show that,
right,
that playback, on the web players.
But we're talking mobile devices.
Yeah. So. If the software was written to do it that way.
Yeah. So I don't know. What did you give me your thoughts on their session. Do you think that did they know what they were talking about, or did what was it, 50-50 cringed moments, or?
Yeah, I thought that they. Based on the information that they had, I thought they were talking about stuff in a reasonable way, and it made sense. It's still interesting to me the connection with Westwood One and Cumulus, how they're leading this podcasting thing, though they're not really doing much with podcasting. So I do know that Cumulus and Westwood One have a deal with, I believe, Audio Boom. And I'm trying to think who the other party in that relationship is.
They're another streaming platform.
What's that?
They're another streaming platform.
Yeah, the Audio Boom folks do some podcast stuff too. They create feeds, so they are kind of like the. I think that their model is a little bit more like SoundCloud. Is what they're doing. So podcasting is just one piece of what they do. It's not their primary thing that they do. Spreaker to some degree is similar to that. I mean, we do a lot of streaming as well. But we fully embrace the podcasting side. I think that's fully embrace it. And that's what's different, I think, between us and like an Audio Boom and a lot of the other streaming platforms, is that they just kind of like, oh, well, you know, we have to have that. So, sure, here it is,
And don't get me wrong, and I think I had to, just say this. I think distribution and being on any platform is good. You know, if you're going to be streaming, it's fine. You know, if you want to be on it's good. It's wherever people can be heard.
Well, at the end of the day, like we've said many times in the past, people don't really care whether it's streaming or download or, playing in a web player or whatever. It's not that important.
And when it becomes important is when people are just trying to monetize, or people are monetizing on top of you.
That's right. And as we look at it as business people in this space, those distinctions have consequences.
Yeah.
And have caused models to adjust and change. Though I think that the biggest issue in the space right now, and it's a growing issue that's like, it's like the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about, is how all these big platforms want to rehost all your content.
Right.
I don't believe that we have a real pathway forward on that. I think it's still early days on that. And the example is Google Play. Google Play Music, with their support of podcasts, are going to be caching and rehosting all the content. Spotify wants to do that. Stitcher has done that for years, and they've taken a lot of flack over the years, though I don't hear a lot of people talking about Stitcher much anymore. And that's an interesting development as well. I think it maybe goes back to the fact that Stitcher doesn't really have a person that is a representative to the community as much anymore. But nonetheless, they were kind of like the leading edge of this whole thing of rehosting and redistribution that seems to be coming back into vogue again. Though actually, I worked on one of the first platforms that did that with podcasting with Melodio Mobilecast back in 2005, which we did the same thing. But it's the wave of the future, and we're going to have to figure out a way to deal with that. How do we run dynamic insertion ad campaigns that are not host reads? You know, so you start thinking about this Triton thing, right? So how does that work with a Google Play?
Right.
You know, let's say you want to change an ad out during a campaign, maybe midstream inside of a, you know, an episode. I don't think it's baked into the episode on the stream, is it? Or is it basically locked in and put into the episode and it's never updated or never had a need to refresh? So you have these kind of these gray areas of, you know, I know that the Google Play folks have said that they will update episodes in their hosting platform, but you have to change the file name and all this kind of stuff.
Which causes trouble with iTunes. They think it's a new episode, and yep, there's all kinds of stuff that happens.
There's a domino effect that happens, and I also see platforms like Google Play and Spotify and these bigger platforms, and maybe even someday Pandora, they're going to all want separate feeds that are feeding them content that doesn't have any advertising in it, so they can do the insertion themselves.
And I think at that point, content creators are going to have to decide whether or not they want to do that or not. You know, we'll adjust as the industry wants, but then it's, you know, it's a lot of work when you have to maintain three separate masters somewhere.
And then all these platforms are going to have to be able to communicate back and forth with each other around metrics too. So,
right,
you know, there's, I know that the Google folks have said that they're going to issue an API back to hosting platforms that can help streamline that reporting type of situation. You know, Spreaker has a similar relationship with iHeartRadio. We push content over there. They rehost it.
You're not pushing it back to anybody else, Rob.
It's being pushed back to Spreaker.
But you're not pushing. Spreaker's not pushing back to the other players.
That is true. That is true. And we need to do a better job of that. And I think that that's, I think we fully recognize that that's where the industry needs to go, is that podcasts, especially that are hosted on other platforms, now that we're doing pass-through in our Android app. Now, granted, you're still going to get your metrics off your hosting. It isn't like we're redistributing all these shows. We're not. But if you do add your podcasts to our hosting platform,
right,
and it is being redistributed, then yeah, you're exactly right, Todd. We need to have an API that can be plugged into to your platform and to Libsyn's and to all that stuff that can report those numbers back.
I think the challenge that we're going to have with Google is that there's a lot of high expectations, and I'm hoping they do a good job when they launch it.
Well, there's more questions there than we have answers right now.
Right, there is. You know,
around exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I've asked the guy that's running it over there to come on this show at some point, so I've got my fingers crossed that he'll join us sometime, and maybe he can share some of this stuff with us and maybe clear the air a little bit about the direction they're going. But there's probably going to be a lot of stuff that he's not going to want to share, especially if it's relating to dynamic ad insertion.
I would just, I, you know, the yet. Number one question I know is it going to be only streamed? And I think everything I'm hearing is yes, that's the only thing it's going to be, is streamed. That's what I'm hearing.
That's what Spotify is doing. That's what these music streaming services typically do. And maybe download is an option, but it's not the primary consumption methodology.
Yeah, which is too bad. A couple of things too is, and I think I talked about it last week already, was us adding, you know, it's, anyway, was that all you wanted to talk about on your?
Yeah, that's that's more than enough.
Yeah. So when you, so you guys are talking about the Spreaker video was playing. Oh, so apparently the audio was playing on, I didn't think it was supposed to do that. So apparently I'll probably have to do some editing, Rob. The video was
playing the audio too.
Yeah. On top of it. It's not supposed to do that. I don't have it set up to play the audio, but I guess it did.
Oh, so I didn't need to.
Yeah. Sorry about that, everyone. Jeez, that was dumb.
Oh, it says, okay, cannot understand or hear anything else you guys
are
saying.
Yeah. All right. So that was not smart on my part, but it wasn't supposed to play it through. I don't have that turned on, but I guess maybe I didn't turn it off. That was dumb. Back in the studio the first days. Okay.
Oh, well. Yeah, so you're probably going to have to cut that whole thing out then.
Yeah, I will. And I'll just, and I'll probably dump the whole video right into the, maybe I can. I probably have to cut that out. Boy, this show is going to be fun to edit.
You could start playing it again and we just can shut up.
Yeah, I'll do that at the end, and then that way I'll have the capture.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Oh, crap. That was so stupid. Let's see here. What else? Boy, we're real professionals today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the kind of show it is. Oh, you had an announcement that you guys added Clamor to your player.
Yeah, we added Clamor came out with a plugin. So same type of deal as like Triton. They build a plugin that integrates with ours. And so really all you got to do is download the Clamor plugin and you'll be able to get the player with the Clamor link on it. So
how does that work? I mean, when you're listening to a show, you just click the Clamor button and it...
Well, let me go to my website. And let's go to the last episode. So we'll bring that up. So, for example, if you see here, you got the player. And you just basically go ahead and click Share Clip. It loads a new interface. And then you basically have to tell it where to put the ins and outs. So you have to give it a time. And then once you do, you can crop and review and then push it to Twitter. So you have to kind of know the spot that you want to go to. It's not super easy to scroll through. You can,
but I am really...
But... Again, you have to know where in the
I get the use 2.0 you're going to be to Aqua Advantage Salmon, you know, where by sector basis
the 18-second capture that they allow you to do.
So you have to actually listen to it as it's playing, and then you kind of set insertion points, right?
Well,
kind of break points.
You can hit play, but it doesn't matter if you hit play. It doesn't know where you're at in the playback. So I could be in the middle of playback and hit share clip, and it doesn't know that spot. So you have to know the seconds. You need to know where in the segment it is.
Well, so this window that you're looking at, the editing window or this time or this wave window is 18 seconds wide.
Right.
So that's your gap that you're looking for.
Right.
And the content to share.
Right.
So you have to just match up that gap with what you want to share and then hit
right.
Crop.
Yep.
So it isn't like you have to find...
Well, you do. You have to find the spot.
Mark things in a wide timeline. It's just finding that 18-second and sliding that along until you find it, right?
So if you say, okay, it was the spot I wanted to be was at 22 minutes and 14 seconds, you can enter that in. But you're going to have to have looked. You're going to have to go find that spot.
Yeah. Is there a better way of doing it? I don't know that there is. Is there a better way of helping people find this stuff?
I think if on a web player, if you were listening and then you were able to just go over and hit click share and it took that segment that you're, you know, wherever you're at in the playback to help you get close, I think that would help. But, again, you got to be a super fan to use this, because you got a few steps to go through. It's not hard; they make it pretty easy.
Yeah, but, I mean, as easy as they probably can.
Yeah, and when it goes up on Twitter, it goes up as a... Now, here's the next thing. When it goes up on Twitter, it goes up as a... It basically says, at Clamor app, and then a link. And then, so it's someone actually in Twitter can't play the audio right in Twitter. You actually have to click the link to go to Clamor to hear the... Of course, at that point, it's a one click for the... listener, but you have to click the link to go to Clamor to get the ad, get the spot.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm also talking to the Clamor folks about providing a podcast feed by topic of these clips too. So you could create, you know, like a
highlights.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like a series of episodes that could be played, especially in the Android app that we have. You can create almost like a channel that you can listen to clips back to back on a particular topic. Because Clamor is also getting content providers that are creating content in their app. So they're actually either producing them outside and just uploading it, or they're just recording it directly into the app.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, someone's making like a promotional clip or something like that.
Yeah, and I told them a long time ago that this platform, Clamor, could ultimately become a producer publishing platform.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just short-form content. Yeah, I know.
No, the Clamor team listens.
But that's kind of what they're doing, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, it's no big secret. I mean, that's one functionality that the app has, is to record directly into Clamor. So you can create your own Clamor channel. Clamor content today. So, I mean, I think that's what they would like to have people do more.
Oh, I got you.
Because it would create original content for their platform.
Mm-hmm.
So
the social sharing thing is good. It's one of those things where you have to, you know, you have to promote it and, you know, tell people to go out there and try it. So that's, you know, what I've been doing on my show is, you know, that's the thing I've been telling them. Go out and try it. Give it a run for the money.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there is a place for short-form content. I mean, 18 seconds is pretty short, but it's amazing to me sometimes what kind of value can be delivered in 18 seconds, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been shared many times on this show, just like maybe a short point that you or I make.
Right.
On a particular topic that was communicated within 18 seconds.
Yep.
That could be a concise thing that gets shared, that drives home a particular, very specific message. Yeah.
So I bought a new toy, Rob, and it's...
I've
been waiting for it to be delivered. And have you heard about Osmo?
I have heard about it, yeah.
It's by DJI?
Yeah, it's like a handheld... video camera thing?
Yes, yeah, it's gyro stabilized.
Yeah.
So it should be in just, of course, it's sitting in FedEx in Shenzhen, China right now, or Shenzhen, or whatever the name of it is. So
So why is this such a hot thing to have? It's stabilization?
Yeah, the stabilization in it, and being able, you know, it's really designed for, you know, if you're trying to do record sports and that kind of stuff, and, you know, I get kids here doing pretty active lifestyles, so just wanted, and again, it looked pretty cool from them, so boys and their toys.
Yes. So does it have a built-in, like, SD card recording capability?
It does,
or
yeah.
Does it work with an iPhone?
It's got a 4K camera, and it does have a built-in micro SD card, and you can basically see what it's seeing from your iPhone.
There's like an attachment that you can get for it, so you can use the screen.
And I'm not sure if it actually you can record on your iPhone or not. I'm assuming maybe you can. So that'll make it easy to do short little clips. It's the only weakness of it is it doesn't have a great mic. So there's probably going to be a lot of third-party solutions that are going to come out to set up. And it's got a place to plug in a mic. So I'm just going to be using, I've got plenty of boom mics and that type of stuff here that we can use.
So what kind of an input does it have for a microphone? XLR or
it's got a mini jack. Oh, okay. So it's designed as a consumer device. So it's, you know, it's got a basically a mini jack audio. So you can put in an external mic, hook it up to it for recording. So we'll see how this thing works out. I think they're on the right track on this particular device. But again, you know, it's a 4K camera, but we'll see how the quality looks. I know my drone quality looks pretty good at 4K. So I would assume it. And it's really essentially the same camera that's on the drone.
Oh, okay.
But
that's cool.
So anyway, that's expecting. Are you getting Black Friday stuff that you're gonna go after?
I've been trying to decide if I'm gonna get a new Windows phone, or just keep what I have for now. I've got the 1520, I got the Lumia 1520, and I know that they've got the new new 950 XL that's coming out. It's on the Windows Phone side, so that'd be the only thing that I was looking at, considering getting. But you have to buy that unlocked.
Yeah,
you can't get it subsidized from AT&T. I mean, you can get the 950, but anyway, that's the only thing I've been looking at. But I've been also, you know, wondering if I just need to make the jump to an iPhone 6 Plus or something, and just leave the Windows phone behind. I'm not sure at this point what I'm going to do. I mean, I have an iPhone 5S right now.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely part of that ecosystem. It's just my primary daily driver has been this Lumia 1520, because it's like having a phone as a tablet. It's a 6-inch screen, and I can do a lot of stuff on it. Basic stuff. I don't need fancy apps on that. I just need email and browser and Twitter and Facebook apps, and it has all that.
Well, folks, we're already here at 90 plus minutes. Of course, we had a little bit of power outage that middle of the show is going to sound weird. So I've got some editing due today, so it's not going to be a clean post production thing, which will be painful.
Todd, are you getting an iPad Pro?
I haven't decided yet. I need to touch it first.
You need to touch it first. That thing is gigantic, you know.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to go play with one and go to the Apple store and touch it, and I'll make probably a decision on the spot. I'm leaning towards maybe.
Because I think, I mean, it doesn't seem like it should be as big as it is, but I guess with the bevel on it, or the bezel.
Yeah.
It just
feels huge.
Okay, yeah, from what I've seen with people holding it, it just looks like, you know, this gigantic thing.
People going to be going to chiropractors for their wrist?
I don't think it weighs that much. I just think it's just gigantic, and I think it's great actually to have a larger screen. I mean, I've got a Surface Pro 3, which has a 12-inch screen, which is pretty good size for a tablet. But to have a 13-inch screen, I know that extra inch really makes a big difference.
Well, so, I do have to bounce. I do have I have an interview coming up, but okay. Yeah, on Google Hangouts, so it's going to be fun to try to make that happen. Yeah. Hey, everyone, Todd or Rob at newmediashow.com. Again, apologize about the technical difficulties today, but we plan on trying to do this on Blab next show, and also have the live stream on YouTube. If everything goes right, we'll probably be experimenting this week, trying to figure out if everything works. I don't know. Are we going to do a show after the holiday?
Well, I'm going to be, well, let's see, what's the dates look like here?
It's right after Black Friday, so are we going to skip?
Well, we could do, I will be in town. Okay, next Saturday, I'm clear for next Saturday.
Okay.
I will be in town on Saturday the 5th.
All right.
But Saturday the 12th, I will be in Barcelona, Spain.
Okay. So I don't know if we are going to do a show next Saturday or not with the 4-day weekend. I guess you and I can talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm open to doing it.
Yeah. I don't know. It all depends on what my wife has planned, and I don't even know, because we talked for about an hour, and then
you haven't been home very long.
Yeah, very long. So we'll make a decision. But everyone, thanks for being here today. I definitely appreciate it. And we'll see you next time here on the New Media Show. Everyone, take care.
Yeah, take care, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.